The Grand 101. You're listening to Swap Talks Live Show every single Tuesday night. And not only that, we get to see hear some great people from the community, like Helen Fishburne. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Helen's gracious, always nice to come back to us and actually continue to spread the word about Canadian mental health, which the problem doesn't seem to go away. It's interesting, as you're talking about, even here locally, the challenges that we have. And it's kind of like as the more you get into it, the more you realize we need more, you know, resources and funds, you know, around it. Now, the mayor just alluded to something that he was just at a conference where they talked about giving some funds to Europe. What does that mean to you?
Well, first of all, I'll give a shout out to our mayor, Kelly Linton, who is amazing and has been an amazing support to us in mental health, but also just our community, right? Mm. He really is trying to work on our wellness as a community. And mental health is a wellness issue. So we've got 1 in 5 people in Canada with mental health issues. But locally here in Wellington County, we're really struggling, right? We know the suicide rate is higher here in this area. We've done a lot of work together, and you guys have been amazing at supporting that, to increase the awareness and profile of mental health and to make sure that people out there know that there's help available. You'll recall we had the big Here for Hope event in November with Michael Landsberg and Jennifer Hedger from TSN, which was awesome. So we're really trying to get the word out, and we are really pushing the government for more resources. We need more help on the ground.
So yeah,
Kelly's helped with that.
That event goes by, and it was very well attended and certainly had an impact. But then there's always the challenge that as weeks go by and the interest kind of wanes a little bit, you know, how do you keep that level up there kind of thing? And how do you keep your needs, you know, at the forefront of everybody out there, which has to be a challenge.
Exactly. It is. And we want to make sure the momentum keeps going, because you can't have an event like that and really try and change the narrative from hopelessness to hope without having more help and more support for people, right? Because as people reach out more, you need to be there to be able to respond. So there's a number of things that we are doing since the Here for Hope event. We've had some additional funding from the Waterloo Wellington Lynn, and a number of players have come together to help out. So, for example, we have more counseling available through family counseling in Mount Forest and Fergus for people who are just reaching out and needing that support. We have grief groups for families who have been specifically impacted by suicide and by those losses, which have been really, really hard. We have some training for family doctors around risk assessments for suicide, as well as some grief, so that our family doctors are being able to see that and do some better screening. We're also doing a community engagement plan. So we want to find out in our community, as I mentioned, I've been here before and talked about how some of the people who have died by suicide have not reached out to our system. They were nowhere on our radar. We didn't know that they were at risk. We didn't know they were in trouble. So we actually have hired a specialist in suicide prevention for the next 6 months. Her name is Cecilia Marie Roberts. She's amazing. She's been all over Ontario doing suicide prevention work. She's going to come up to the county here, and she is going to do some community engagement work. So she's going to talk to people. She's going to say, hey, you know, what's helpful for you? What's not helpful? Why would you reach out? Why wouldn't you reach out? You know, just so we are learning and understanding more and making sure that we are tailoring our services and our supports better. We also really want to strengthen our informal system, like the hockey coaches and your colleagues at work and your next door neighbor, right? So they're keeping their eyes out for people as well. So that's a really important strategy and approach as well.
You mentioned, I guess I kind of find this a little surprising, that training for doctors to help identify, you know, when the patients are in their offices. I just would assume, well, doctors are trained, you know, they must know that.
Well, think of the amount of information that a doctor needs to know in a day-to-day practice, right? They have everything in they're the front door of our healthcare system. So they need to know absolutely everything. And what we hear from many of our docs, who are amazing people, but mental health and addictions is often outside of their comfort zone. They just don't get the amount of time and attention in their training. And even though mental health is everywhere, we know that stigma is still such a huge factor. So people aren't even talking about it with their family doctor. You know, I mentioned 1 in 5 Canadians with mental health, but there are 2 out of 3 people with mental health issues do not reach out for help. That is stigma.
Because of the stigma.
That's stigma. So family doctors sometimes
don't see it. Even in the doctor's cases, how much time do they spend with the patient?
Exactly.
You know, they have 30 minutes. That's if they're running on time. You know, most of the time they just want you to come in, tell me what's wrong, and so really not their fault. They just, it's one of those things where it's no time involved.
That's right. Yeah. And mental health sometimes doesn't fit into a 15 or 20 minute phone conversation, right? It's a much more in-depth, much more personal conversation.
So they're looking for, you know, the patient is in for some reason and probably not being, you know, truthful about the problem that they may be having from a mental health perspective. So there must be flags and little signals that if
they're
in tune with, they can say,
I got to go
deeper here type of
and
thing.
Say, hey, you know, I want to talk a little bit more about that. I'm concerned about you. Here's some resources that you can connect to. Have you thought about going to counseling? We have also this amazing program up in our area here in Wellington County called Strengthening Families. And it's a program that your teenage child, ages 12 to 16, and the parents attend together. We have a group for the kids and we have a group for the parents separately. And then at the end of the program, they come together and they learn about coping and resilience and how to communicate with each other. That's another great program that brings everybody together and, again, builds that support and builds that coping mechanism in so that families are actually building resilience together rather than separately.
Oh, that's got to be...
So that's in Fergus here starting in March.
Oh, is that?
Tuesday night, and it's free.
Oh, wow.
So that's another thing that people can access as well.
Yeah, again, from the, they call them caretakers or the relations to the person, that's another huge challenge.
Exactly.
Even if, so let's just say they've identified, what do I do?
That's
you know,
right.
Where do I go? The person may or may not be receptive to anything that spouse or person is trying to do, but they still want to help.
Exactly.
And we don't know how. Like, you know, my kids are, you know, have a, you know, a fever or they break a bone or something. I know what to do. You know, I'm taking them to the doctor. But mental health situations, most parents are not prepared for that at all, you know.
We're making great progress and we're adding more resources and supports in our community all the time. But we still need more. So big day for us tomorrow, Bell Let's Talk Day.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have thousands of people connecting with us. And of course, this is Canada-wide. But locally, we have a tremendous response because of Bell Let's Talk Day. People calling in, coming into our offices, reaching out. It's amazing.
Oh, really?
But again, with that, it's a bit of a double-edged sword for us, right? Because we have to match that with actually giving people help.
Well, it must
so that's always our challenge.
Yeah, it must scare you a little bit because you're in the trenches more or less, so you're probably very close to understanding how big of a problem this is. And so you get people to reach out to these various things that you're doing. And then have I got the support mechanisms in play? Nothing worse than somebody coming and nothing available
and
for them.
And having the courage to reach out, which takes a lot of courage, and then not being able to respond to that person. The worst. And so we are constantly working with our partners as well to make sure that everybody's door is open. Because, of course, we've got CMHA. We're a big agency. We provide lots of services. But we're not the only door. You know? There's great family counseling and support services, our counseling agency. There is, you know, four family health teams in Wellington County. They provide amazing care, right? You can go to Groves. You can talk to us on here 24/7. You can go online at bigwhitewall.com and get some support. So there's so many avenues for people. And really the message is just reach out and keep talking.
Yeah, the big white wall, I think, is it's one that is not threatening in a sense. So if you're tentative about, you know, I need the help, but I don't know how to go there. I don't want, you know.
You can't sleep at 2 in the morning. You can log on to Big White Wall and get some information, watch some videos, talk to other people from all over the world who are experiencing similar problems, which is really cool.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, here 24/7 is also open 24/7. And many of our callers want to stay anonymous, again, because of the fear of stigma. But we don't, you know, we can talk to anybody. And we can also talk to you if you're concerned about a family member or your next-door neighbor. So there are many, many places that people can reach out.
So how are you resourcing this then? Is this a lot of volunteers? Is this, you know, a mixture of staff? How do you do that?
Well, great question. Here 24/7 is a fully staffed model. There are no volunteers.
Okay.
And the reason that there are no volunteers is because it is actually a mobile crisis service as well. So we talk to people who are imminently at risk. And we go out and see them in their homes or in the community or take them to hospital. Mm-hmm. So with that level of intervention, we really have to have staff that are fully trained and being able to intervene. There are other programs that we offer that we run that are run by volunteers, and they're amazing. And many of our volunteers have their own mental health journeys, and they share those journeys as part of their volunteer time. But when we have here 24/7 and that's a crisis service, we have to have staff.
Oh, good point. I mean, it's one thing to hear a compassionate ear when I call up, understands my problem, whatever kind of thing. I'm probably, you know, a little distant from actually taking my life that day. But then when you get into situations where it's something bad is going to happen here, you're right.
Where you need the professionals.
Yeah. And my heavens. I mean, we talk about our police force that has, you know, they went forward and got the service where they have some trained people with them to go out on calls.
So those
right?
are our staff, and they're the impact team, right? The integrated mobile police and crisis team. And together, with the police, we're so much better.
Yeah.
The other piece I wanted to mention, Rob, was that we are also working with our corporate partners more than we have ever worked with before, because we can't rely on government funding to be our only funding source. We know that the needs and costs of our healthcare system are too great. So we're really turning to our corporate partners now to see how can we raise some funds and tap into some of their expertise and their profits. And we've made some amazing connections. So we now have a relationship with Shoppers Drug Mart. They do a run in Waterloo region on Sunday, May 5th, and it's a run for women. Okay. And all 100% of the proceeds of that run will be given to CMHA for local programs for women's mental health.
Oh, wow.
So this is a new partnership we have. We're super excited about it and really, really grateful. And every penny comes right back to our local communities so that women with mental health issues are given treatment and care.
Well, and I mean, there are a lot of reasons why corporations should get involved. But again, they've got employees, you know, like this is their resource that you're utilizing to do whatever it is they do. Yeah. How do you ensure that it's okay? You get involved in these kinds of things.
And it's awesome, right? We have local owners of Shoppers Drug Mart that want to invest in their own neighborhoods and their own communities.
Wow.
So it's an amazing gift that they give. That we graciously receive and really, really plow that right back into our local community. So it's awesome.
So two things. If somebody's listening to us out there right now and they need assistance, where do you send them?
Here 24/7. So 1-844 Here 24/7. Never closed. We have people on the phone lines every hour of the day.
Wow, that's over insuring. And then the other aspect is, well, what's the kind of call to action? I mean, tomorrow we've got Let's Talk. Is that like in the immediate near future, is that a call to action that we should all get involved in?
Well, great question, Robin. I think the call to action, first of all, is open your eyes and your ears to mental health. Look at your own health and wellness, and then look around you, your friends, your family, your colleagues. Keep a supportive ear open, because silence is what is killing people. So reach out to people that you know. And you can do something very simply by just saying, you know, I'm worried about you. I'm here for you if you want to talk. I can help you, connect you to the available resources. The other thing we are really wanting to do is to really advocate for more resources at the government level, within your workplace. You know, we have great people doing fundraising, so we really need to get more support and resources through multiple channels for people that need that help.
Well, and again, you've identified it's not a distant problem. It's a local. Distant, but we also have the local challenge ourselves. Mm-hmm. So it's not somebody else that's got the problem. It's right here where we live.
Yep.
I love the idea that, so what do you do tomorrow? Hey, how about if you know somebody, a colleague, whatever, and you just have always sensed that something isn't quite right, you put your hand forward and say, you know.
And you know what? That could actually save a life.
Wow. That's pretty powerful.
It's very powerful, you know? And very true. Yeah. One simple message of hope and care can save a life.
Wow. There can't be anything more powerful than that, that says, you know, okay, money, yes, needed. Corporations involved, get involved in these fundraisers, no question about it. But how about this? You know, save a life.
Save a life
tomorrow. Yeah. And all you have to do is be aware of your surroundings and the people that are with you. And when you see something, you know, I think I applaud it so much, because it's a case of taking it from nobody talks about this to everybody's accountability to be aware of what's going on.
And that's the call to action, is to break that stigma. We refuse to sit in silence. We refuse to do that. And reaching out and being kind and being supportive and really breaking through that stigma is our, all of us, that's our call to action.
I mean, there's some great commercials these days, and they talk about the reaction of something to something you hear. And you know, and I'm sure everybody identifies with the negative reaction because we all do it. And then you hear it positively.
That's right.
Wow, it doesn't take much. I just got to change my way I feel
that's
about
right.
that.
That's right.
Yeah, sure. Probably your initial reaction is not going to be the best one. But you just recognize that that's something we all do, and then you move on.
But you really don't know what someone else is thinking or feeling and what the impact of your words and your compassion might be on that person. So taking that extra step and really seriously has the potential to save a life.
Yeah, I mean, you're throwing them a lifeline.
Yep.
You know, and if these people are out drowning, you know, they're going to grab on. They're going to grab onto this. Like, I don't think you'd ever have to be feared that somebody's going to no, leave me alone type of thing. I think you say no. I would sense that a lot of these people, once they hear somebody willing to, you know, address what they're going through, are going to reach out. They're going to grab it. And even if they don't, you know, stick to it. And because I think the persistence alone would probably help.
So thank you for helping us get those lifelines out.
Well, and thank you. I say it's something that you're welcome here all the time. We want to have you back time and time again. Obviously, that it helps us to understand how things are progressing and your support structures, but it also gives everybody the opportunity to think about it again and to put the onus back on us, you know, to do something about it. So, you know, if our little part is helping to communicate that, we're glad to do it. Thank
it really
you, Ellen.
Yeah, thanks.
Appreciate that. And so don't forget tomorrow, folks, it is the Bells at Let's Talk happening. So you can get involved in that. But as Helen says, you want to do something tonight, tomorrow, just turn to somebody that you know is having some struggles and offer them a hand, show them some compassion. And as Helen says, you might just save a life.